Good evening, Gateway. A good evening to everyone who is here for the first time. My name is John. I'm one of the leaders here on staff serving our LIFT young adult community. Welcome to our Good Friday celebration. We've got a fantastic night ahead of us, you guys. I'm a little bit excited. Our God is worthy. Amen. Amen. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start the evening with songs of worship and spoken verse. Afterward, we're going to continue worship with an opportunity to worship God through giving, and then we're going to serve communion. After that, our own Micah Jones is going to bring a message from the Word of God that you are going to be glad that you did not miss. We have such a night of blessing planned for us tonight. I'm excited to see every one of you here. Thank you for being here. In fact, I'm so excited, I would love for you all to stand up and maybe look to someone you've not met before, shake some hands, take 10 seconds out of your busy lives. Let's meet one another and love one another. There we go.
In Isaiah 43, God reminds me, "Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, the flames will not burn you. The flames will not consume you.' God reminds me that He is always with us, even if we do not see Him or feel Him there. At a very young age, I went through deep waters. I was exposed to things that a young child shouldn't bear. Hearing voices telling me that I wasn't worthy, that I was a mistake, that I shouldn't be there. But God was with me. Through those deep waters, He was my life vest. He did not let me drown. At the age of 16, I went through a crashing river of difficulty. I didn't understand why life had to take away my best friend. It was all a mystery. But God was with me, covering my confused heart. At the age of 26, I found myself in a toxic relationship. I was in a burning house, suffocating by the smoke, slowly losing hope, oppressed by the choices I had made, tormented by so much rage. But this time, I had to think about someone other than me. Now I was a single mother of a beautiful baby. But God didn't leave me there for the flames to burn me or to consume me. He walked with me every step of the way, waited for me to surrender my heart so that He can take it all away. You see, God reminds me that there is purpose for my pain. My tears are not in vain. He recklessly loves me. He calls me by name. He chases me through my failures and my shame. He fights till I'm found. See, my suffering produced perseverance, and perseverance produced character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. You see, Jesus endured pain. Jesus endured pain for your sins, for my sins. He endured this pain for our shame. On this very day, he humbled himself to carry the cross. He died on the cross, and on the third day, he rose again, so that you and I can have hope and a new life again. God reminds me in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You see, I can only understand what God is doing in my life after I've completely surrendered over my life. For everything I have gone through, every hurt and every pain has led me to this very day. It prepared me to be the sister, the friend, the daughter, and the mother that I am today. And soon, I will be a beloved wife to a man that loves the Lord and accepts my baby girl as his own. You see, God reminds me that there is purpose for the pain. He plans to redeem me and to restore me. So he takes me from glory to glory. And because of this, I will never be the same. I am forever changed.
Good evening, Gateway City Church. Let's stand up and let's worship him today.
In our pain, now you're taking us higher. You stepped into time, you laid down your life to save us. You took on our shame, crossing his name, now you're taking us higher.
Sing it, Lord. Blood out his name, no longer a slave.
We're forever changing, yeah. So we go forever. The victor has won. Heaven has come, and you're taking us higher. Now you're taking us higher. We go from glory to glory to glory.
Not like you, the faithful one. Type of poetry that'll make thee understand to know He is the only one deserving of praise and glory. I've been chosen to share my story, so I'm feeling uplifted because I'm a witness to this spiritual business. It all started at the age of 8. Death was right behind me but couldn't find me, so I knew it wasn't fate. See, what happened was I jumped in the pool, didn't know how to swim, and drowned. But God intervened and said, wait, let his best friend jump in and save him. I didn't know then, but broke down years later when I found out it was God in him. That's just a prelim. The light of life was so dim. During my teenage years, it felt like I was walking through Jerusalem, bearing the weight of the cross, infested with gangs, drugs, and death. My breath shivered with exhaust. I tried to take my own life, not counting the cost, but he did. And here's the miracle. The bullets never came out even when I pulled the trigger. The gun was to my head. Thank God you're the bigger picture. Look, Ma, I'm alive, not dead. Death, you are of no match for the Creator. There is no love that is greater. Embodied in flesh, I was that teenager. No need for a comment section or a narrator. I am that kid who lived, who felt every drop of blood fall from the Savior's crown. For my sake, Jesus was casted down, but never once did he stay down for the count. Please don't get me wrong. I am far from being bulletproof, but I am living proof of this great love called the resurrection, aka unmeasurable holiness and perfection. Did I mention Jesus is the everlasting truth? If you don't believe me, ask yourself this, and this question goes beyond church walls. How many people you know would lay down their life to establish a relationship with you? You can choose. See, 2,000 years ago, God the Father designed a spiritual plan for his people. He sent his one and only Son to become the mediator between life and death. Jesus then connected us to the Father by laying his life on the cross willingly and forgiving us of our sins. as he died and took his last breath. Now wait. Pause. I hear a gentle whisper. Lights flicker. In the midst of all this, I hear him. And he says to me, son, I've resurrected and I'm with you. Daughter, I've resurrected and I'm with you. Those who are drug addicted, flesh inflicted, prodigals, depression, suicide, loneliness, etc. I love you. You are mine. And I'm here and I've resurrected and I'm with you. As a matter of fact, Gateway City Church, San Jose, Santa Rosa, Modesto, Clovis, and prophetically speaking in Arizona, I've resurrected and I'm with you. You see, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Check this. It's beautiful. God's love and our story put together is a love story. He's the author of our life. And the title of the book is called Love's Sequel. There is no equal. You see, God the Father resurrected Jesus, who is my Savior and Lord, who then took my position in life, knowing that death was coming after me, and diverted death's course. No lie. Tears in my eyes as I think back to the times that I could have and would have died. But he loved me too much, and he wouldn't let me. Free indeed, he set me on a firm foundation. He condemns condemnation. I am not ashamed to proclaim this grace called amazing. And forever, Jesus will get the praising, because God the Father promised us, and he went through with it. And so forever, we will praise him. Give him shout, give him shout, give him shout. Let's go.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb's Lord. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Praise God. God is so glorified when we lift him up with our praises like this. This is when heaven comes down, everyone. This is when heaven comes down forever. He is glorified. He is lifted high. This is a fantastic time when we get to offer our worship to God. God is pleased, everybody, when we offer him our worship. He is pleased when we offer him our worship. One of the ways, in fact, that God invites us to worship him is by offering up to him gifts and offering up to him even a tithe of the income that he has provided for us. We're going to worship the Lord with giving now. I want you to understand, if you're not yet a member of Gateway, There's absolutely no expectation that you give in this offering. Rather, we would just prefer that you simply enjoy yourself in God's presence tonight. But for those of you who are led to give in this collection that we are about to collect, then I want you to be blessed in Jesus' name in your giving according to God's promises. Ushers, please come forward and you can serve the people now. As they do that, I want us to understand tonight, we're going to take a look at some scriptures. God is pleased. God is very much pleased when we offer him our heart of worship. In fact, it's the heart of worship that pleases God. When we give out of worship to God, this is when God is pleased. So we have here in the Gospel of Luke, it said, no, not indeed. We're going to go with a different scripture, my people. We're going to read from Mark chapter 12 instead. Mark chapter 12, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. And what he did is he watched the crowd putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people, they threw in large amounts of money. But instead, you saw Jesus watched as a poor widow. She came and offered two small copper coins, and she put those, they're worth only a few cents, and she put that in the offering, the scripture says. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow, she has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but this poor widow, she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything she had to live on. Glory to God. You see, if all that you can give is a little, worship him with what you can and trust that God will be pleased. Because we read in another part of scripture, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, and if anyone gives something as simple as just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciples, truly I tell you, that person has not lost his reward. So be encouraged as you give. Now I want us to look at our communion segment here tonight. You know, as those who believe in Jesus with their lives, we celebrate Good Friday as the day that Jesus, God the Son, he gave up his life. He gave up his life to be killed at the hands of a coalition of Roman and Jewish authorities. Now, why on earth would we celebrate a death? If you're new to church services, or if you're new to the Bible, if you're new to what Christians think and believe, you must wonder what our obsession is with the death of Christ. Why would we celebrate the death of Jesus with an entire Friday service? Because the resurrection that we celebrate this Sunday is meaningless without what Jesus had to accomplish, and in fact did accomplish, by his death. Amen. In fact, what Jesus did accomplish was the legal right for you and I to be saved into God's presence, beginning now and lasting into eternity. Picture that. This is why such a difficult image as Jesus' broken body and spilled blood is such a cause for us to celebrate. This is what we do. We celebrate this now. Because Jesus died on a Friday, we can now live as Jesus now lives, because he gave his life one Sunday back ago. He was raised one Sunday back ago. He gave his life on a Friday, and that is what we're celebrating tonight. Praise God. So now, on the night before Jesus knew he was going to be killed, on the night before the day that he was going to be giving his life, he determined that he was going to celebrate the Jewish Passover feast with his 12 core disciples. So there in that room, he would lead them in a Passover meal that was different than any before in the history of God's chosen people. You see, because looking back to a time long before Jesus in the history of ancient Israel, God had brought terrible judgment on the land against anyone who didn't have faith to trust him, that what he was going to do was he was going to deliver them from that judgment through the spilled blood of a Passover lamb, the shed blood of a lamb. You see, and those who believed, they literally took those lamb's blood and they put it on their homes. They painted it on the doorpost of their homes, and the death angel of judgment passed over them without harm because of that spilled blood. That Passover sacrifice, and every Old Testament sacrifice for that matter, year after year, for the next 1,400 years, in fact, those were all signposts. Those were all pointing the way to the real, to the final sacrifice, the deliverance that we have for our sins because of the death of God's Son. You see, Jesus, he was aware of this, and now he wanted to make his disciples aware of this. In that upper room, he said to them, and this time we are going to read those scriptures. He said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Praise God. For I tell you now that I won't eat this again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. That's from Luke chapter 22. And then Jesus, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, glory. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul goes on to say, for whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's from the 1 Corinthians letter by Paul. Brothers and sisters, if we are right in faith with God, and if we are right in faithfulness with the other Christians in our lives, Jesus invites us to come now and celebrate our union with him in love. Because he says in John 6:56, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in them. Now, he speaks figuratively there. He's speaking figuratively, indeed, of our faith in his sacrifice. But it's that very faith that you have, brothers and sisters, in Jesus that unifies you with him. This is what we are celebrating now through the bread and through the cup. What we need to remember, though, is that this invitation that Jesus gives to us, this is also necessarily an invitation for us to be in communion with every other Christian. Because Christ is not separated from his church. Amen? Paul goes on to say, and though we of the church are many, we all eat from one bread, showing that we are one body. So let's then not tonight remain in offense and remain in bitterness, or remain in unforgiveness towards one another. Now, as you're taking the elements here, I'm going to ask that you hold them until we can all partake together. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Thank you, man. You got yours, man? As I pray aloud now, join me by agreeing as you hear before God. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have done for me, all that you have given me, and that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I confess, Lord, that I have sinned against you and against my brother and sister. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Forgive me and cleanse me of my sins. Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Grant me a willing heart to remain in you. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. O Lord, guide me in your ways. Holy are you, O Lord, full of power and might. The heavens declare your glory. And as the deer thirst for living waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. Yes, Lord, you pour out your spirit on me and you make your words known to me. We're just going to wait a little bit while we get caught up. I want to make sure everyone has the bread and the cup before we partake together. While we wait, I'm going to ask you to just pray in your heart before God, just you and God together now. This is a time where you are just in God's presence. Nobody's looking at you. I'm not looking at you. Pray to God and understand before Him, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that He is with you, that He loves you, that He wants to be with you every minute of every day. As we continue to wait, prepare your hearts as we celebrate our communion with Jesus in love, our Lord and Savior. Even as we celebrate our communion with one another. Indeed, because we are all God's people in love, just as Jesus loves each and every member of His church. Looks like everybody is served, yes? Lord, on the night before you died, you had supper with your disciples. You took the bread from the table, you lifted it up to the Father, and you gave thanks and you gave praise. Lord, you broke the bread and you gave it to your apostles, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given for you." Let us remember him now as we partake of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, then you took the cup, you lifted it up to the Father, and you gave thanks, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and the everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me," Jesus said. Let us drink now together from the cup. Gently, you can pass your cups to the side and ushers will collect those. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and I shall be healed. We all say together, may your body and your blood give me strength to live for you until you come for us in glory. Amen. Thank you.
Right? Just get yourself in a place to receive. Nothing but the blood.
Make me whole again.
applause. Just give it up for him. Give it up for our worship team. God, you're so good. How you guys all doing? Good? You look good? You look good? Can you turn to your neighbor and just say, you're looking beautiful on a good Friday? Yeah, y'all look good. Turn to the other person who you've neglected and just say, you have communion breath. And spit some crackers at them. I'm just kidding. That's weird. Stop it. It's a holy night. Well, hello, my name is Micah, and I am so humbled to be here with you tonight and share the word. Hopefully you can eat it. I prepared it as much as I can, so give me a break. If you can, shout me down and make me feel good. I need some assurance and affirmation, because it's tough looking at you guys. So I have a half hour, and I'll try to fit it in, and I'll be cautious of your time. I don't know where Pastor David is. Before I get started, I want to honor that man. Pastor David, can you please stand? The senior pastor of this house and his wife, Kathy. I just want to say thank you, sir, for what you've done in my life and my family's life. Thank you for this church leading so faithfully and effectively. You see him up here every week, and I have to say he is one of the most premier communicators in the world, if I can say that myself. And we get to listen to him every week, and he's such a blessing. He's a gift to the body of Christ. And sometimes, give it up for him. You see, sometimes you think that, is he the same as he is on the stage as he is off the stage? And I had the privilege to go travel with him to Portland and go to a pastor's conference. I don't know why I was there, but he invited me to go. And you should see how other pastors view our pastor. They look at him like, oh, you're Pastor David. Hi. And can you teach me? Can you show me? And I watched him take 4 hours out of his time ministering to a young guy who he's just pouring into. It's just the type of guy he is, so humble and honest, and he loves his church. He loves his flock, and it's an honor to just be led by you, sir, and lead this movement. So we need to give honor where honor is due. We can't be casual about that. We have to know who to honor, because that is important. Can't be casual about something that's supernatural. Some of the greatest gifts in our lives are the people that God puts inside of our lives that we get to walk with and learn from. And we get to say, oh, I get to drink from you every week. It's amazing. So let's not forget that. Let's not take things for granted. Amen. I also want to honor a couple more people. John Newton. Please give it up for John Newton. I get to serve with him and my beautiful fiance, Yeneni. She was the one that did the spoken word on the front end. And my name is Mikey, and I get to serve the Lyft community as well. We just have an amazing thing going on Thursday nights. If you're between 18 to 35, we invite you to come out and find community and find some great people. Just go to the warehouse. We start at 7:15, and you'll get some great people. Amen? Okay, let's get to the word, because that's really all that matters. Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. I'm going to read, pray, and then I'll dive in, and I'll try to get you guys out. I promise I will get you out at some point. Tonight, Good Friday, it's a holy day, and the topic I'm going to be talking about is the day when hope died, but I want the message title to come up here, and this is the message that I'm going to be speaking on. Go ahead. Get your hope back. Gateway City Church, this is a call from my heart. Get your hope back. I'm not saying you lost it, but maybe some of us have. And on a Good Friday, on the day that hope died, on the day that Jesus hung on a cross, we need to get our hope back, because we need to find that that's where our hope comes from. So Luke chapter 23, verse 33, and we're going to dive in. When they get to the place called Skull Hill, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Dividing up his clothes, this is in the Message version, by the way, they threw dice for him. The people stood there staring at Jesus, and the ringleaders made faces, taunting. He saved others, let him save himself, the Messiah of God. Ha! the chosen. Ha! Ah. The soldiers also came up and poked fun at him, making a game of it. They toasted him with sour wine. So you're king of the Jews. Save yourself. Printed over him with a sign, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him, said, some Messiah you are. Save yourself and save us. But the other made him shut up. Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus responded, don't worry, I will. Today, you will join me in paradise. By now, it was noon, and the whole earth had become dark, and the darkness lasted for 3 hours in total blackout. Temple curtain split right down the middle. And Jesus called loudly, Father, I place my life in your hands. And then he breathed his last. God, I ask tonight that you would help. I need help. You would speak to your people. This is your church, Gateway. Can you make these this time matter? Can you speak what I don't know how to speak? And may you fill in the gaps. And Lord, give us a great time in your word. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I will drink because my mouth is getting dry. Have you ever used the term, don't get your hopes up? Going to see a movie and you're telling your friend, hey, don't get your hopes up, but yeah, I would see it. Like, who does that? If you don't get your hopes, I'm not going to go. Don't get your hopes up that Loyola Chicago is going to get in the Final Four. Like, come on. That's happening right now. I don't know what the score is, but check that for me. I mean, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. I recently got my hopes up. My dad gave me a few tickets to a play. And I was super excited because as a future husband and a future father, I wanted to take my family to a play. I wanted to go to the theater. And so my dad got me these tickets, and I was super excited about it. And I was telling him all day, hey, guys, I got you tickets to the theater. We're going to go to the theater. Imagine like an opera house, and that's where we're going, and we're going to dress up, and we're going to look good. And I got their hopes up all day long. And so it was about that time, and I was like, oh, man, we got to go. Okay, so I grabbed the tickets, and we took off, and we started driving, and I put the address in my navigation, and sure enough, it popped up. It was off Summit Road in Los Gatos. I was like, Summit Road, isn't that up 17? Nothing's up there. So I was like, okay, that's fine. No big deal. We're going to the theater. Janiyah, little seven-year-old, we're going to the theater. Aren't I a great future dad, you know? We're going to the theater. And so we're driving, and she's like, what's going to play at the theater? Don't worry about that. You just enjoy yourself. My dad got us tickets, and I am giving you guys the time of your life, right? I mean, this is great. And so we're going to the theater. We go up 17 Summit, and we're driving, and literally it's pitch black. And we're saying, what's going on? Where is this theater? We're looking, and nothing's there. Whatever. And then finally we see this little sign that says Shrek the Musical up this way to an elementary school. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, all right, let's go. Just don't worry, guys, this is going to be great. And so we pull up and we get out of the car, we run inside, we're just on time. And then someone's welcoming the crowd and they said, hey, so we have 120 kids all dressed up tonight. And I'm like, dang it, Dad, you're making me look bad. You get your hopes up, right? I mean, how many times do we spend our lives getting our hopes up for things and things don't really turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out? We have our expectations here, and all of a sudden reality is like here. And in the case of the theater, down here. I mean, it was a great play. I suggest you go check it out. Just don't expect anything grand. Lord Farquaad is hilarious. And so I say that to say, like, so many times we get our hopes up, and we live in a culture now that we're exposed to a lot of things. We're exposed to things at a young age. And so what I've seen and what I've watched is so many people don't get their hopes up anymore at all because they sit and they say, I'm going to leave my expectations here because I don't want to get hurt. I'm going to stay in my safe zone. I don't want to put myself in a position to read about all the articles that I see on TV. One of them is about this couple that was in Colorado. Drink. this picture. Maybe you saw this in the news, but they were in Colorado and they were sick and tired of every single day going to work, right? I mean, those, you agree with me. So they're sick and tired of going to work, and so they sell their whole entire life, their house, their cars, their 401k, and they buy a yacht. And they're saying, we're ditching this. They quit their jobs, and they got on this boat. And 2 days into their journey of retirement, the boat hits a piece of coral, and it capsizes, and they lose everything. It's funny when you're talking about the theater, but what happens when you get into a relationship and it turns into marriage and it doesn't turn out the way you thought it was? It's funny when you talk about the theater, but you get into a career, you start a business, and you get your hopes up, and all of a sudden it doesn't turn out the way you thought it should. I often wonder how the disciples felt. Let's zero in on the text now. Now that there's the Christ, the Savior of the world, this Jesus, the God-man, who was walking around turning water into wine. He would preach to thousands of people, and people would touch his cloak and get healed. This Jesus was blowing people's minds. He was the one they were waiting for. He was the one. He was the guy that was going to dethrone the Roman government. He was the guy, the Messiah, that the Jews wanted in their life. And they get their hopes up until this day. And they're looking at Jesus, not all of them, just a couple of them, on the cross, in between two thieves. Don't get your hopes up. Have you ever had a time where your hope dies? Because I can guarantee the disciples felt that way. On this holy day, this special day, this was not an easy day to swallow for these guys that have followed him for 3 years. You know, one thing that I've noticed, in times in our lives when we go through tough things, our true colors come out. Our true character is shown in suffering. And we have this conversation take place. The camera zooms in between two criminals and Jesus on a cross. You see, what would happen when they would crucify someone, the Roman government, they would only crucify people because they wanted to make a political statement. They wanted to say, hey, in case you wonder, you do what this guy does, you're going to get this. And before that, he got flogged. It said 39 lashes. So what they did is they took a cat of nine tails, in case you don't know what that is, because I didn't know what that was. I knew it was a whip of some sort. But what they took was at the end of the whip, there was bones and pieces of metal. And so when they would whip the criminal, it would sink into the skin and rip open. And so you could see the innards of a person. He got 39 of those lashes, one less than dying, as they would say. And then he decided, okay, we're going to make a real public spectacle out of this guy, and we're going to hang him on a cross. They would take nails and push it through his arms and his feet, and his lungs would be expanded. So in order to breathe, he would have to push up on the nails and just grab a little bit of grasp on this holy day. It's pretty gnarly, if you ask me. Making a public spectacle out of Jesus. And I look at that, and we zoom in on a conversation amongst a criminal and another criminal and the Messiah dying. This is supposed to be a day of hope. But so many times, actually, I've been in church my whole life, I didn't know what hope was. I didn't know how to define hope, what biblical hope was. And so I looked it up. And before I tell you the definition from a variety of sources, I'm going to tell you what it's not. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not thinking happy thoughts. Hope is not Easter bunnies and rabbits and purple something. That's not hope. It's not just like going through life floating on clouds. That is not hope. See, hope is not psychological. It's theological. Hope is not a strategy. Is a great book for sales, for those of you in sales. But it's not a strategy. You're not going to hit your quota on hope. I'm in sales. Pray for me. But faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. We're supposed to be faith people. But for some reason, this thing called hope is a pretty big deal in our fundamental capacity of faith. And so when I looked it up, it said this. It said, faith or hope is an assurance. Faith or hope is trust. Hope, it actually creates an atmosphere. The biblical definition of hope is a joyful anticipation of good. A joyful anticipation of good. Can you think of having a joyful anticipation when your Christ, your guy, that your leader is hanging on a cross between two criminals? Can you have a joyful anticipation when your boat gets capsized? Wow, this is so depressing, Micah. We'll get to the good part in a second. But we have this hope. And so I like actually this definition the best as I was looking around. It said, hope is a constant expectation that God is at work even when I can't see it. You see, because we can't change our circumstance. We can't even save ourselves. But we're in charge of our spirit. And we, Gateway, are supposed to be people of hope. In the midst of the most trying circumstances, there's a spirit of God that can breathe hope into your life. In the midst of times in your life where you're suffering, there's a spirit of God that can breathe hope in your life. And we need to be people of hope. We need to walk into our classrooms at school, for those of you that are in school, and be people of hope. I'm going to get an A on this test. I didn't study, but I'm going to get an A. I'm just kidding. That's optimism. People at work, we're saying we're walking in hope. I need help with this because I can easily get discouraged. I can easily look at my reality and think, God's not doing much here. But we need to be people that set the atmosphere, that the temperature is saying, I'm going to be a person of hope. I'm going to choose hope. I'm going to choose to believe that there's a constant expectation that God is at work even when I can't see it, even when he's hanging on a cross. And so as people of hope, I see three things to help you be a person of hope in this passage that I hope that you could take away and just really eat. So take notes. I didn't get a pass out, but eat on it. Feed on it. Preach it to yourself. When you're feeling like your boat has capsized, preach it to yourself. And this is the point number one. Remember that your current circumstance is not in charge of your future destination. Your current circumstance is not in charge of your future destination. We look at Jesus hanging on a cross. Water. The criminal, we don't know if it's right or left, but it's one of them. He turns to Jesus and he says, hey, some Messiah you are. Save yourself and save us too. We love looking at some, and maybe it's just me, but we love praying to God and saying, God, do this for me, right? We want to, it works. Yep, there.
That was easy.
There you go. We love that. And I've been on, you know, we're in a situation where we're like, God, get me out of this circumstance. I don't like it. I don't like my job. I don't like my spouse. I don't like, you know, let's be real. I don't like that the Warriors, the entire team is hurt. Like, that's unfortunate. God, why? Right? Like, we pray. But no, we sit there and we say, God, save me and save yourself if you're really God. You ever prayed that prayer? And this guy's hanging on this cross. This criminal, a criminal, turns to Jesus and says, hey, save me and save yourself. You see, but Jesus didn't let the critics dictate what he did. He didn't let the peer pressure dictate what he's going to do. He didn't let people making fun of him, laughing at him, even the church people. They were laughing at him. He didn't let that determine or deter him off of his course. And he listened to this guy. He didn't even respond. But I wonder how many times in our life we want to take the easy way.
That was easy.
We want to not hang on the cross. And as influencers, we need to teach people how to go through trying times, how to be people that endure even when stuff is really difficult. And so what Jesus did, he didn't let this guy speak to his insecurities, because Pastor Chris always says he knew who he was and he knew where he's going. if you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble, because you're going to sway every which way, and you're going to take the easy society, the swipe right society, and you're going to say, I'm going to take sex easy. It's casual. It's no big deal. I'm going to take this job. I don't like this job. I'm going to move out of it. My marriage sucks. I'm not going to work at my marriage. I'm going to take the easy way out. This is our culture. This is where we're at. And it's so easy to let our insecurities, the areas in our life where we need affirmation, consume us. And so we're in a position where we need God to come through, because we really just want him to manipulate us. And Jesus stands there. And when they asked him, are you the Son of God? He just said, yeah. He didn't have to justify himself. He knew who he was. See, because he understood that his current circumstance didn't determine his future destination. He was so locked in on thinking about us in this room tonight. See, because he was on a mission from God. And I wonder how many people in this room, Gateway, are on a mission. I wonder how many people say, yeah, I know I can be casual about certain things, and I could take the easy way out. I'm going to say something, and in hear my heart, I believe in sex after marriage. It's okay if you don't, but I believe that. And I'll tell you what, we are abstaining, and it's really hard. And I failed. I failed so many times. I failed, and what happens is you end up searching for intimacy from multiple people, and you're trying to fill a hole. Because your current circumstance, it's like, I'm empty. I want to get off this cross. I want to fill this hole. And you take the easy way out. And you say, I don't care where I'm going. I don't care about my future spouse. I'm just going to do what I want in this moment. I'm going to drink this and I'm going to smoke that, because I want to get this stuff out of my mind. But so many times when we take the easy way out, we are left to our own demise, looking for the next easy way out. And before you know it, you're lost, unfulfilled, looking around life saying, how did I get here? And maybe some of you are there. And I have an answer for you. It's hope, and it's a person of Jesus. And your current circumstance doesn't dictate your determine your future destinations. You can get out of where you're at, and all you have to do is accept and receive. We're going to keep going. All right, number two. Is this okay? Is this helping anyone? Okay, is this making sense? I sure hope so. Remember, number two, drink. Your value is not determined by what you deserve, but the price that's willing to be paid. Verse 41 and 40 and 41, but the others made him shut up. So they're on this cross. This one says, hey, save me. Save yourself. Let's get off this Messiah. And then Jesus doesn't respond, but the other one chimes in. The other criminal. And he says, hey, shut up. I like that term. I don't know if he actually said that, but let's just say he does. He says, hey, shut up. Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this. So how many of you follow technology companies? Are you in the business technology? Anyone? I sell a software called Talend. And Talend is a data integration company, and we sell to big businesses, and I enjoy my job. I love it, but it doesn't define me. But I will say that there was a company that we kind of compete with. They do API management. For those of you nerds in here, you're going to enjoy this. For those of you who don't, just bear with me. API management and Salesforce, which is a big CRM tool. It's a platform of the future. It's awesome. It's phenomenal. They bought MuleSoft for $6.5 billion. $6.5 billion. I know what they're selling. I'm like, where's the market for that, right? What are you talking about? How do they get that evaluation? How do they end up spending that type of money for that company? Now, I love MuleSoft, and some of you may work for there. I'll compete with you all day long. I love you. Hugs. But how do you get that valuation? But here's the thing, is the CEO of Salesforce actually had already invested, so he knew what he was getting. But furthermore, he spent $6.5 billion on something. My point is this. You see, so sometimes we look at something and we say, how does that make that much money? I don't understand. You look at Amazon, you know, $1,500 right now a share. That's a lot of money. Other people say that's amazing. I look at that and I say, well, if someone's willing to pay it, that's the value of it. So there's a price that has to be paid. You see, we all suffer with something called the human condition. In the very beginning, On hinted to it and John hinted to it. At the very beginning, you can read it in Genesis, where Adam and Eve were in this garden. And there was one rule that God put in this garden was don't eat from this one tree. And we look at this one tree and he said, stay away from that and you'll have perfect communion with God. And you can eat from all these trees. Look at how God works. He says, you can have everything here, but just stay away from this. So many times God stacks odds in our favor and we miss it because we're so focused on what we want. And so you're missing how good that is. But so we eat from the tree. Adam and Eve ate from the tree and they were separated from God at that moment. And from there, they were constantly trying to get back and be made right with God. And so what happened was there was a flood, and God tried to wipe it out and say, now we're going to be right with them, and that didn't happen. And so God sent Moses and the laws, and the laws came. And how many of you know trying to live up to a law ain't going to happen? Look at Breaking Bad. He's a good guy, and then he ends up selling coke to take care of his family. The human condition. We don't believe in sin, but we believe in right and wrong and good and evil because we see it in movies. But sin is real, and the cost of sin is death. And here's what happened. That moment when they were separated from God, we had to figure out a way to bridge that gap. And so God, before the foundations of the earth, decided to say, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to pay the price. What am I saying? You're valuable. You were extremely costly. 6.5 billion holds nothing on the Son of God. You are a valuable person. You are valuable to God. He is willing to pay the most utmost price. The darling of heaven crucified for you and for me. The darling of heaven came to earth, lived a perfect life and said, I'm going to give my life and take their position so I can be in relationship with you. 1 Corinthians 5:20 says that he who knew no sin, he became sin. So that we can have life and righteousness with God. He wanted so much to be close to you that he decided to say, I'm going to make something so valuable and I'm going to pay that price because you deserve it. So if this doesn't give you some hope in saying that what you're in, your circumstance, your situation, you can tell yourself, I'm valuable. I'm walking into a business meeting. I'm valuable. God paid a price for me. I can look at that cross and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to get my hope back. I'm going to get my hope back when I'm down and out, when I'm struggling, when my marriage isn't going well. I'm going to look at that cross and say, oh my goodness, there's a valuable price on my head that was paid for me. And I can stand before God and say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. You see, because this criminal knew something so important. He knew that he deserved to be on the cross. But Jesus didn't. Do you know that you deserve death? More depressing stuff for you. Because we have the human condition. All of us. And we need help. We need a savior. We need a hero. We need a God. We need something to help us because we can't help ourselves. Can we stop trying to live up to some weird standard here in the church? Can we stop putting pressure on people to try to become someone that they're not? Can we just call out who they are, that they have a valuable price on their head, and stop wasting time doing things you shouldn't be doing because we love you? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only Son, that we can be alive. Point number three, and then I'm done. JP, can you make this sound spiritual? Give me three more minutes. Remember that your pain can be a gateway to someone else's wholeness. Your pain can be a gateway to someone else's wholeness. Jesus is hanging on this cross in between two thieves. We had a couple testimonies with Yudeni telling about her life story. We had On sharing his life. So many times we think our pain is for us. You see, but if you give it to God and you put it in his hands, you might be standing here telling your testimony about what he can do through your life, how he can make you a gateway of hope, how he can make you a gateway of wholeness. Because if you really look at their lives, on a Thursday night, you walk in that door, guess who's going to be the first one that walks up to you and shakes your hand with that bald, beautiful head, smiling, giving you a hug, saying, I love you. He's going to follow up. Another guy is Anthony in the back. You may not even see him, but he's the one doing the slides. Anthony has this loving heart that he loves being around people. But if you knew his testimony, and he shared a couple of it. In fact, that second point came from a small group that I was in, and he shared that. So get a part of a life group, because it will change your life. Because life groups are there for testimony, for telling each other's story, because my story is going to be your story, because I can be a gateway of healing for you if you let it, if you listen, if you focus. Yudeni, maybe you don't know him or know her, but she's my fiance. I love saying that. Come on, somebody. But her testimony, it proves it out in the way that she lives. You know what attracted me most to her? Her faithfulness in the church. The way that she raised her daughter. The way that she, her friends, like she has so many friends, and they've just been around her for so long, and they look to her, say, what do you do? And they've watched her go through her mess and turn it into a message. They watched her take ashes into beauty. They've watched her take pain and turn it into a gateway for hope for them. And so some of them in here might be able to testify for that, because Jesus is real. I can teach you things and you're not going to listen. But I can tell you my life. Last night, we had this awesome worship team up here. And we had a terrible practice. And we were like, ah! I left there scratching my head like, oh, God, help. And we had all this. And a few of us got together after. And we started talking and saying, you know what, I'm just scared. I got this, my dad, and I don't know how to, I'm insecure, I don't know how to lead this. And all of a sudden, I started sharing, I was like, I'm scared too, bro. And then in that moment, healing. Because you start realizing that they're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and I can be authentic. And guess what? We can love Jesus together and just hang out and say, woo! Because your pain can be a gateway to your healing. And I want you to live in this atmosphere of hope, that if you're going through something right now, maybe as your dad left you, or you're struggling with divorce or pain or depression or anxiety, I want you to sit there and I want you to say, is this story for me? Or is it for someone else if I put it in the hands of Jesus? You can preach that to yourself. I do. It helps. Remember that your pain can be a gateway to someone else's healing. Two criminals. One said, do this for me, Jesus. I don't want to surrender, but just do what I want. The other criminal said, I deserve this. You just remember me? Will you remember me in my struggle? Will you remember me when I'm having a hard time? Will you just be close to me? And little did he know, the thing he was asking was the very thing Jesus was paying the price for. On that cross, he said, I'm going to send my spirit, because it's better that I go and I leave him. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to some of you right now. And he's saying to you, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Will you live a life of remembering? Will you live a life of remembrance? Will you choose to say, I don't gotta have to have it figured out, but I could just be close to Jesus, and I'm going to accept him, and I'm going to receive him, and I'm going to surrender my ideas of what Jesus should do, and I'm just going to live how Jesus wants me to live, and I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm just going to walk saying, you're with me, Jesus. You're with me every step of the way. Right here, you're with me. In my struggle, you're with me. I can live in hope because you're with me, because you're my hope, because it's not something. I'm in a joyous expectation of something glorious going to happen out of this situation, and I'll tell you what, Gateway, if we do that, that will transform this city. That will transform this city. I'm done. Every head bowed. I'm so sorry I went long. Maybe some of you in here, you hear me, you talking, and you feel something tugging at your heart. And you're saying, Micah, I need that Jesus. I don't know about this dying thing. That kind of creeps me out. I don't know what the whole blood thing, that weirds me out. But yeah, you want that relationship. You need help. If that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand, and I want to pray with you. I'm going to count to three. And if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to live a life of remembering and surrender and say, I'm going to accept you, Jesus, in my life. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Three. Don't you dare miss this moment. Two, Jesus is calling you. Three, if that's you, raise your hand. And I want to pray with you. Nothing weird is going to happen. No one's going to look. I see that hand. I see those hands. Anyone? I see that hand. Jesus. Lord, we see those hands. And we'll have everyone repeat after me if we can. And then we're going to shout really loud because it's awesome what they just did. Say, Lord, repeat after me. Sorry, I'm not very good at this. Lord, I'm a sinner. It's Good Friday. I suffer with the human condition. And I need you, Jesus, in my life. I surrender. I believe that you're my Lord and that you're my Savior. From this day forward, I will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you give it up for those people? It's about six hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The decision will change your life if you get the right resources. We want to help you. We have resources for you. So you can come up to me after. I'd love to meet you and hug you and kiss you. I'm sweaty. We can get you in touch with the right people. We have grow tracks and we have small groups and we have so many amazing life groups. Sorry. So many amazing things at this church here to help you to live an inspired life. And my second question is this, and then we're done. Maybe you're in here and you're suffering with lack of hope. And you're frustrated at God. And you're saying, God, I want the button. If that's you, I want you to stand with me. Because I'm standing. On the count of three. One, two, three. Please stand. If you're suffering with the need for hope, we want to pray with you. And as we pray, we're going to go into this song. And the Spirit of God is going to fill you. And you're going to leave full of hope. To change the world. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, that you're the God of hope. Thank you for your death on the cross and the life that you've given me. I pray that the Spirit of hope would begin to just flood every heart and every life right now that's standing and saying, I need you. May we live a life of remembrance in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Sing this with us.
Come on, clap like you mean it tonight. What a wonderful name it is. Hallelujah. I want us to say thank you to the Lift College and Career Ministry, to John and Micah and On and the worship team. Didn't they do a great job with this service tonight? They poured out their hearts and God anointed them. And Micah, it was easy, right? Yeah, that was easy. Lift your hands, everybody. I'd like to bless you. The world is losing its mind. They're losing their hope, but not us. Because our hope is in God. We've never been stronger. We've never been standing on firmer soil than right now. Because our faith and hope is in Him. Father, thank you for launching a counterattack tonight against hopelessness. We're getting our hope back, Lord. We're taking it back. You're the God of hope, and Lord, we thank you for filling us with all hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand tall and strong tonight, expectant, understanding, Lord, that if you conquer death, you can sure handle whatever we're facing. We receive that hope. We thank you that you are working in our lives, and we receive your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Fist bump somebody or high five somebody. God bless you, everybody. Hey, we got three services Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. We're going to have a great time. The message is the day that changed everything. And let's believe and pray that God's going to change lives. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I love you all. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.